Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
Genesis chapter 22, look at verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his son and his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. They went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. It's three times Abraham said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What a powerful passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, I come to you again, needing you, knowing that the responsibility that you give just mere mortal man is too great. So, Father, we're dependent upon you. Somebody in this room needs something from you, and Father, I pray that I'll be the vessel that you'll use. May a word be said, maybe the song that was sung, but that your Holy Spirit will abide with us, will meet with us, will dwell upon us. If there's a friend here that doesn't understand their need of you, may today your Holy Spirit convict them that they do need to know you. May you stir their heart. And for us, the believers, dear God, may we be what you want us to be. May we be better prepared to serve you when we leave than when we ever came in. Father, we're trusting you. You're invited here. Your spirit's invited here. And we ask that you keep the forces of evil far away, the distractions few. The demons and the devils will want to distract our minds and our thoughts. So we ask that you help me to be able to be used, to be able to keep the attention of the people here. In Jesus' name, your will be done. Amen. This morning we find our reference in Genesis 22, and this passage of Scripture gives us a great lesson on testing and trust. It's not uncommon for God to test His children. It's not uncommon for we, the believers, to have to blindly trust the Savior. Sometimes we see what He's doing, and other times we don't see for many years, or in truth, ever. But we must always remember that our Lord, the Lord our God, wants us to be happy and wants us to have joy. He knows where we should be and He knows what He's doing. Behold the wood and the fire, but where is the Lamb? The title of this message is Behold the Lamb. The first thing that I want us to look at this morning is I want us to see the test. God tested Abraham. Now, the Bible uses a word here that might confuse you. The word that it uses is tempt. The same word is test. And I'm going to discuss that tonight. We're going to discuss, does God tempt? And the Bible clearly says God does not tempt man. And I want you to understand that. So this word is just the word for test. God is proving. God is testing. See, God will test us. The devil tempts us to destruction, but God tests us to refine gold. Here we have Abraham asked to do a very difficult thing. Usually tests are difficult. When I was in school, I liked easy tests. It made me feel really smart. I suppose that tests are hard on purpose. This test was great difficult. The test would be equivalent to a law exam for a lawyer, a physician's exam for a doctor, the fundamentals of engineering exam for a rocket scientist, all wrapped up in one. No offense to any lawyers or doctors or rocket scientists. This was a test by God, and it was difficult. It was a simple test. It was a simple yes or no test. Abraham, go and offer Isaac for a sacrifice to me. Yes, you will, or no, you won't. But what a difficult test. This was a test for Abraham. This was a test by God, and it was difficult, but this was a great test. Now, God is not into condoning or wanting human sacrifice, and we'll get to the end of the story as you've already read, and we'll understand some things, but this was a test for Abraham, a test for him, a test to show Abraham what Abraham was made of, a test to show us what Abraham was made of. Most likely the Lord knew the devil was watching, and so I believe that this was a test for the devil or a lesson for the devil to say, that's my servant, and now you know why. Abraham was asked to do a hard thing. What hard thing is God asking you to do? Is it something you're afraid of? So many people are afraid of surrendering their life to God because they're afraid that God will ask them to do something full-time that they're afraid of. Well, if I surrender my life to God, He's going to ask me to do something very difficult. I've used this illustration before, and I'll use it again. These are my office keys. Sam, come here for a second, son, will you? Thank you. If this was... the keys to my life. And Sam, bless us all, represents God. I just want to make sure there was no lightning. But if God said, give me the keys to your life, Nathan, and I said, okay, God, I'll give you the key to my life. I gave all the keys to my life but one. Who still has the keys? Because God will not force that out of my hand. He will not. He will not go against your permissive will. He will not force that out of His. I can force that out of His hand. but he will not force it out of my hand until I surrender all. God will not have all of me. Make sense? Thank you, Sam. God was asking Abraham to do a difficult thing. What hard thing is God asking you to do? Do you trust him? I know what many believers think. If I surrender to God, he's going to ask me to go live in a hut in North Africa or North Korea, and I'll die alone. Maybe. But I want to remind you of a verse in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. You need to write Jeremiah 29, 11 down. You need to put it in the front of your Bible if this is a verse that you constantly forget. Jeremiah 29, 11 says this, God says, for I know my thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Wow! God wants good things for us. If he asks you to go live in North Korea and live in a hut in North Korea and for you to die alone, may I tell you, if that's what God wanted for you, then that would be the most satisfied your soul had ever been. You would die in complete joy. I'd always said that I'd never desired to pastor. I have said a few things that I would never do, and it is funny. The things that I'm serious about, God says, oh, yes, you will. And the things that I aren't serious about, he lets it go. Like I've said, I'll never be a millionaire. Still hasn't happened. But I said, I remember when I was a kid, I'll never go to Bob Jones University. I was the one telling the jokes about Bob Jones University. You know where all liars go, Bob Jones. Well, after I graduated from Bob Jones University, God called me to go to Ohio, and then he called me to Mount Pisgah. I'd never wanted to be a pastor. You know the story. Many of you know the story. I'd never desired to be a pastor. I grew up in a pastor's home. It was just something that I did not acquire a taste for. Didn't want to do it. But can I tell you that God wanted me to pastor? And I am and want to be surrendered to his perfect will. So when the time came that his wants went against my wants, I found out that he knew what I wanted all the time. Because I didn't know I wanted a pastor. But man, I do. I didn't know. And I was fighting against the will of God. I was not really fighting hard against it, because I wanted to be surrendered. But I was like, dear God, I can't see how that would be appealing at all. All and 3.5 years later have gone by like that for me. Maybe not for you, but for me. And it comes to find out that God knew what I wanted all the time and I didn't know. See, that comes into Jeremiah 29:11. For I didn't know God's thoughts towards me. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give me an expected end. I mean, I thought if I came to Victor Baptist Church after my dad, who everybody in Fairmont knew and who most people respected, and I were to come into Victory Baptist Church, there's only one direction that Nathan Barker could take Victory Baptist Church, and it's still true. There's only one direction Nathan Barker can take Victory Baptist Church, and that's down. I mean, there's no way. How can I fill my dad's shoes? How could I? I couldn't. So I decide he wears size 11, I wear 10 and a half. But I thought, how could I? I mean, it was a daunting task. And I thought, well, maybe God's bringing me Victory Baptist Church, so I'll bring it down. I don't know. But Jeremiah 29:11 tells me differently. Jesus thinks of me often. And when he thinks of me often, he thinks, Nathan, I want you to be happy. I want you to have joy. I don't ever want evil to come upon you. Ever. I don't want any bad thing. No. You don't understand, Nathan, the expected end I have for you. I don't even know what that is. But I know that we can trust God. Abraham, take your son Isaac. Your only son, did you see that? What about Ishmael? In God's eyes, there was only one. Because one was born out of disobedience and one was born out of divine providence. He said, take your son, your only son, and offer him a sacrifice. That had to be the longest trip for Abraham. Isaac had no clue. That had to be the longest trip for Abraham. His two servants, the donkey, the wood, the fire, Isaac. Maybe they walked a little slower to the mountain. What's wrong with Dad? He must be getting old. He's awful, walking awful slow. Had nothing to do with his age. It had everything to do with what he was fixing to have to do. Couldn't tell anybody. Can you imagine telling your wife that? Number one, she wouldn't let him go. She probably would have if she would have been obedient to the Lord. But I just can't even imagine. Thank God I don't live in the Old Testament and God asked me to do things like that for testing. But I can't even imagine. Basically, it was a test. Abraham, do you trust me? See, this test was about trust. Let me ask you a question. What are you telling God no about? I'll serve you, dear God, as long as it's this, this, and this. That's not surrendered. God wants us to be surrendered. This test was an opportunity for Abraham to trust the Lord. So number two, I want you to see the trust. Abraham trusted God. Abraham knew that God was a loving God. Hey, you know, back in Genesis chapter 18, you remember in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham goes to God and says, God, you've got to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. God, you got to help. If there's 50 righteous, will you spare it? If there's 10, all the way down to 5 or whatever it was, if there's 10. If you'll spare it. And Abraham says this to God because Abraham knew the answer. In Genesis 18:25, Abraham says, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, dear God. That's what he's saying. Dear God, that be far from you to destroy the wicked with the righteous. And then Abraham asked this question, knowing exactly what the answer was. Shall not all of the judge of all the earth do right? And he knew the answer. Because the judge of all the world, all the earth, the judge of all things will always do right. Abraham in chapter 18 had total trust in God. In Genesis chapter 22, just 4 chapters later, God asked him the biggest request of Abraham's life. It wasn't to leave his mother and father and go into a land they didn't know. That was a big test. But it's to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham had faith in God that God would do what's right. See, Abraham knew that God would do what's right. He had already came up with the conclusion in chapter 18. So what was going through his mind? Well, I can't read Abraham's mind. But here are a couple of things that Abraham could have been thinking when he took his son Isaac and put him on an altar and he grabbed a sharp knife and he was going to pierce Isaac's heart with that sharp knife. Here's a couple of things that Abraham could have been thinking. Well, if God takes Isaac, he'll raise him up again. Or if God takes my son, God will reward my son and me far better than we could ever imagine. Hey, I don't know exactly what was going through his mind, but we do get a glimpse of it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Listen to this. In the New Testament, in the Hall of Faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it says this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham said, if I kill Isaac, God will have to raise him from the dead because God promised that my lineage would come through Isaac. Now that's faith. Abraham trusted God. Abraham knew that Isaac was the promised child. So if God was going to ask Abraham to do this, he knew that God must raise Isaac from the dead. What he didn't know was how Isaac would react. He didn't know how Sarah was going to react. He didn't know the timing for which God would have had to raise Isaac from the dead. You can't ever really play the what ifs, but in this little illustration, if God would have allowed Abraham to go through with what God had asked him to do, and there lay a dead son, and God didn't immediately raise him up, and 2 days later he's still laying there not raised up from the dead, and Abraham finally has to go home, what's Sarah going to say? He didn't know how his wife would react. If we hadn't read the passage of Scripture and I was telling you the story and you didn't know how it ended, you know, whoa. If my dad laid me down one day and tied me up and took a knife and said, Nathan, I'm going to sacrifice you, and he didn't, and he stopped right here, and then said, I changed my mind, untied me, said, now go play. I don't think that I would want to be around my dad anymore. I think I'd be scared of him. Wouldn't you? Isaac, Abraham didn't know how he was going to react to this. Sometimes when God asks us to do hard things, we can't control how other people respond. But we have to trust the Lord. And here's what I do know, that if everyone else that's close to you is close to God, whatever you do, they'll be right along with you. Because I have no evidence from here on out that Isaac was ever afraid of Abraham. Ever. As a matter of fact, we get the opposite sense. Abraham didn't necessarily know how everybody else would react, but he knew that God would do something. And I want you to know that took greater faith than I think that we can even understand or comprehend. He trusted God. But I want you to know that Isaac trusted Abraham. This is so important. I want you to think this through. I'm amazed at the trust Isaac had in Abraham. By the way, I want my children to trust me. Don't you? Want your children to trust you? But if a person is going to trust me, now listen to my logic and reasoning here. If I want somebody to trust me, I want to be able to say that I trust God. Because if they trust me and I trust God, guess who else they'll trust? They'll trust God. Parents, fathers especially, your son or daughter, unless you've given them great reason not to, they trust you. They trust you. And they will. They will trust you. And if you don't trust God, you are teaching them not to trust God. Abraham trusted God. Isaac trusted Abraham. You'll find out later on, Isaac trusted God. Isaac's trust towards Abraham. I mean, just use your imagination. Dad, I see behold the wood that I'm carrying, which is a symbol of Christ going to Calvary, by the way. Jesus carried his cross. This was a symbol. This was symbolic. Isaac, the only begotten of Abraham. Isaac, the only begotten of Abraham. Abraham, the father of Israel, who through the seed of Abraham, the promised child would come, the promised Messiah. Isaac, carrying his cross, his sacrifice. Jesus carried his cross to Calvary. Isaac says, Dad, behold the wood, behold the fire. You forgot something. What'd I forget? You forgot the lamb. Dad, I know you're 100, but that's pretty important, isn't it? Where's the lamb? Abraham makes a prophetic statement. Abraham says, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. The Lord will provide himself a lamb. Wow. And he did. No, it wasn't what necessarily Isaac was thinking or Abraham, but certainly God did. See, Isaac had total trust in God, and because Abraham was tested, Abraham trusted, we're going to come up with the truth. Now, I want you to see the truth. Because when Abraham was there and Isaac was tied up by his dad, Abraham being 100, Isaac being, I don't know, maybe this is just a guess, 13 years of age, 14 maybe. Definitely Isaac's faster than Abraham. If Abraham says, son, I'm going to tie you up, come here, Isaac could have left. Maybe even overpowered a 100-year-old man. But he didn't. And the Bible says Abraham bound up Isaac. You know what that means? Isaac had to lay down his life. That's how much he trusted his dad. Wow. Wow. And Abraham tied him up. And Isaac, the whole time, I don't know if Isaac says anything. We have no word. I mean, if Isaac's a picture of Christ, I just kind of sense Isaac says nothing, because the Bible says, as the sheep to the slaughter, the lamb opened not his mouth. Jesus didn't even open his mouth, didn't say a thing. And Isaac looks at his dad, probably scared to death. He was a human being. By the way, Isaac was 100% human being, and that was it. Jesus is a 100% human being and 100% God. Isaac just looks at his dad. I don't know. I have a vivid imagination. I can see a tear trickling down his eyes. And as Abraham, I can see Abraham crying too. And I can see him pick up that knife. And I can see Isaac just closing his eyes and just waiting for it. The truth was, God never wanted Isaac to be sacrificed. God didn't want Isaac. God wanted Abraham. And when God already knew, but when the time was chosen that proved to everyone else that Abraham was and is and truly was God's, God cried out from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, stop. Look in the thickets. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says, and there was a ram? I got to be honest with you. I was sitting there thinking, why a ram and not a lamb, right? So I Googled it. I Googled the difference, and I'm not an animal guy. I mean, I like animals. They're good. They taste delicious, but I looked up the difference between a ram and a lamb, and here's what, was it Wikipedia or whatever? A ram is a male sheep, and a lamb is a baby sheep. All right. Same creature. And why a ram in the thickets? Because baby sheep don't have horns, and it's hard for them to get their horns stuck in the thickets. Makes pretty good sense to me. But Abraham looked up, and he saw the ram. I don't know exactly what Abraham, I don't know that Abraham knew what he was saying when he says the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Because Isaac says, behold the fire, behold the wood, but you're not going to find out until to the New Testament. And John the Baptist says, behold the lamb. So you're going to have, behold the wood, behold the fire. Abraham says God will provide himself a sacrifice. And the first time that John the Baptist sees Jesus in his earthly ministry, Jesus is walking to John the Baptist while John the Baptist is baptizing or whatever John the Baptist is doing. And he looks and he says to everybody, and he points this man out and he says, look, behold the Lamb of God. Was that a coincidence that Isaac asked, behold the wood, behold the fire, and John says, behold the Lamb? Because Abraham says the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice, and John declared who it was, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Ha! The truth is, God did not want Isaac. God wanted Abraham and Isaac. That's the truth. The truth is, Jesus was the sacrifice. As some of you that were sitting there were thinking, I cannot imagine sacrificing my child like Abraham. And I believe that that's why the story's in here. God wants you to get a real bad distaste for this. How dare, I mean, maybe even some of you got so bold and brass to think, how dare God ask a man to sacrifice his son? How dare God? And God's like, exactly right. How dare I give my only begotten son for you? See, God likes to take impossible stories that we can never imagine, impossible truths that we can never imagine, and put them in story form so that we might just get a taste of comprehending what maybe the Father went through. And even Jesus himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins. The truth. Behold the Lamb. God's going to test you. God's going to test you. You're going to have to trust God. Because the truth is, he is our all in all. That's the truth. He is the Lamb of God, which has already taken away the sin of the world. He's paid for it all. He's not going to pay for it. He's not going to pay for your sins if you come to him. He's already paid it all in full. So do not step over the blood of Jesus Christ and go to a place called hell. That's unnecessary. He's already paid for your sins. Accept the free gift and trust him to be your Savior. What's God asking you to do? What test is he's put? What test? What hard test is he putting you through right now? What hard test? Maybe you and you only know. I know this, that no matter what the test, he wants you to trust him. He wants you to remember that his thoughts are good toward you. He doesn't wish evil upon you, and you have an expected end. He wants what's best for you. Do you trust him enough to let him have the keys of your life? God, you can have them all, but this one, then he doesn't have the keys of your life. Because the keys of your life are on the chain that all keys are held on. He either gets it all or he gets none of it. What are you trusting God with? What are you holding back? Maybe you're holding back ill feelings. God, you're so good to me, but I just can't get over what happened to me in the past. Got to give it up. God doesn't want you to be there anymore. That's not an expected end. That's a revealed past. He has an expected end. So let go of the past. Maybe you've been saved and you're like, well, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. And it's not necessary to go to heaven. You're right. It's not necessary to go to heaven. Absolutely right. Jesus does not require you to be baptized to go to heaven, because there is no works that will take you to heaven, and baptism would be considered a work if you trusted baptism to take you to heaven. But it's an identification, and Jesus commands us to do it, and so it's basically the first step of obedience. It's kind of like the first key on the keychain. Let's see, I don't know how many keys I got on here. I got like six keys on here maybe. And if there are six keys to me giving to God, the first one would be baptism. That's the first step of obedience. And then it would be church membership. That's the second step of obedience. And then there's so many other things, but I'm just telling you, you can't get to step four until you get to step one. That's salvation, of course. Give him your heart. And then obey him, baptism. Then obey him, church membership. Then obey him, get in the word. Then obey him, tell others. I mean, there's so many things. But I just want you to know, you don't get to step five without getting to step one. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, take the first step. Get saved. Trust Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. He's the best friend you'll ever have. I don't know what time it is. Oh, he's the best friend you ever even had. And then, if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, get baptized. What's baptism do? It shows everybody whose team you're on. I'm a West Virginia fan. It's really, really important to be a West Virginia fan this year. I would say difficult, but I trust the climb. But I'm a West Virginia fan. When I was down in Murfreesboro yesterday and the day before yesterday, I had my West Virginia park, my little windbreaker, West Virginia, man. Everywhere I went, West Virginia. If there's pictures on the internet of me in Murfreesboro, it's with my West Virginia shirt on. People in the airport, hey, West Virginia. Good, you can read. Everybody knows that I was a West Virginia fan simply because of the sweater I was wearing. Now, I'm a West Virginia, I don't have anything West Virginia on, but I'm still a fan. So you can still go to heaven without being baptized. But baptism is basically just putting on a t-shirt and telling everybody whose team you're on. It's an identification with Christ. Aren't you glad he asked you to identify with him through baptism and not Calvary? I'm so glad that Jesus says, after you get saved, you need to be crucified. That would separate the men from the boys. But he did, and he said, I want you to follow me in baptism, believer's baptism, immersion, death, burial, resurrection. That's what identifies. That's the first step of obedience. The second one would be church membership. You need to find a Bible-believing church that you can yoke up with, because that is the way God intended for us to do it in this dispensation allotment of time. We are the New Testament church age. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. You find the church. I'm not saying it's victory. I'm not saying that. But it's important. It's important. You find the church that God wants you to be a part of, and you yoke up with them. And you say, that's the church that I can serve the Lord best in. Then do it. If it's a Bible-believing church, I'm all for you. If you're a member, stay here. It's just the right thing to do. But if you're lost, get saved. Maybe some of you are being stirred, your nest is being stirred about surrendering. And I hate to use this word because we're all full-time Christians if you're a Christian, but I think you understand my definition, full-time Christian work. That means you're willing to give up all your dreams and all your ambitions. By the way, pastors had dreams and ambitions before ever being a pastor. I want you to know that. I did not, at 16, think, someday I'll be a pastor. No, I thought, someday I'll be an F-14 pilot. That's what I thought. I was wrong. I'm not even a pilot of a Cessna. But that was my dream. But you know, at the age of 17, almost 18 years of age, I had to say, God, that's yours too. I'll fly away one day, but it won't be in an F-14. I'm going to go out like Superman, come back like the Lone Ranger. Hey, Jesus loves you. Maybe it's your dreams you're needing to give up. Maybe one of you young people, God's stirring your heart about ministry. Maybe one of you older people, you know God's been stirring your heart about ministry. You just know that God's stirring your heart about, and you can't get away from it. If you surrender doesn't mean you have to, he'll have you go. Did you know that? Everyone in here should be surrendered to it. Doesn't mean he'll have you go. He did not have Isaac sacrificed. He just wants you to be surrendered. Are you surrendered? What are you telling Noah God about? What are you telling no to God about? That's important. Do you trust him? He's going to test you. The truth is, he'll take care of you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.